Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Tonight is our part two installment of the Major League, or I should say MLB, traderumors.com top 50 list. One of our phones is vibrating. And we're going to be doing 31 through 40 on the list. We're actually going to start at 40, work our way back. So this is part two. When we get to part three, that's going to be 21 through 30. So the list is going to get better and better as we go. If you listen to part one, that was a very reliever heavy episode. There's a couple in this episode, but it's a better mix of players. So we will get into all 10. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Doug Aitchison and the Italian Stallion, Chris Felico. You've probably been called that 200 times in your life.
Just on the show.
Okay.
Just by you 200 times.
Okay. I thought it was the first time, but you know, you lose count after zero, apparently. Yeah, so anyway, and I should say we did do a show last night entirely Red Sox related. Go check that out. Not a very negative show, if that's what you're into. So, yeah, we're popping them off pretty frequently here, and I expect we will be probably through Christmas. So we will be one of the more active Red Sox podcasts. And so let's get it started with the sexy relief pitcher Kyle Finnegan. Looks like he had 24 saves in 2025, 3.47 ERA, 1.11 whip. Solid numbers. He is a right-handed reliever. Chris, let's start with you. I think we need a reliever, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Going into this, I didn't know much about Kyle Finnegan. I mean, I even tried to pull a baseball reference, and apparently he's forbidden. I don't know why, because everyone else pops up when I pull him up that's on this list. But I digress. I mean, yeah, looking at these stats, I mean, at face value, I wouldn't mind having a guy like this. I mean, 24 saves. He had a 4-4 record. Like you said, 3.47 ERA. 57 innings pitched, 55 strikeouts, so almost one strikeout per inning. I mean, solid numbers. I would definitely take a flyer on this guy. I mean, it looks like I would say the Tigers or the Yankees are probably the front runners in getting this particular Kyle Finnegan based off of what I'm seeing here. But I certainly would take a flyer, especially with the fact that, you know, outside of us bringing one of the 900 starting pitchers that we have to the bullpen, which it seems like we're reluctant to do. I mean, let's face it, our bullpen, there's moments where they've shined, but when you really remove Whitlock and Chapman, I mean, flip a coin. You don't know what you're going to get with some of these guys. They have stints where they look absolutely dominant and then stints where it looks like they've never thrown a baseball before. So what do you think, Dougie?
Yeah, he had a really good year, right? Said he's, you know, he struggled until this year, but what it says is that I'm reading that they the Tigers worked on him on his release point and made him just be slider heavy, and he had a really good year. Which it's like, I feel like is becoming a trend right now for relievers. So it's really slider heavy and spin rate. And, you know, it seemed to work for him. And if we can bring a guy like that in, you know, I don't think there's any team in the league that would really hate having a guy like that.
So, as I said in part one, I'll just rehash it one more time in case people in the audience haven't gotten to that show yet. But outside of Chapman and Whitlock, you've got Justin Slayton, Zach Kelly. You got Weissert, Hicks, and Bernardino. Lots of trust issues there. And there was a report tonight, or a quote from Breslow, that was tweeted that he doesn't expect a major addition to the bullpen. So I hope that gets revisited, because you kind of do need an arm. You could bring back Justin Wilson, who pitched well for us, you know, in that one season. I wouldn't hate that, but I feel like you can't really let it ride with the current cast. I mean, if Slayton reverts back to that form he was in for like 3 months of the 2024 season,
yeah,
Zach Kelly lives up to his potential. I was a Zach Kelly guy at one point. I'm not a Weissert guy, never will be. I think you really screwed yourself with the Hicks deal, who's getting pretty significant money for, yeah. And I'll always be a Brennan Bernardino guy, but he did have some minor injuries that led to him, you know, not being on the big club. So I think a Kyle Finnegan type guy is fine.
Right.
And I forgot to give the projection. He's supposed to get, according to the MLB trade rumors writers, he's expected to get approximately 2 years, $20 million. The writers have him going to the Tigers, Yankees, Diamondbacks, and Tigers. So perhaps he'll stay right in Detroit. Next on the list is a starting pitcher, Cody Ponce. He's supposed to get 2 years, $22 million. I'm going to be very candid. I don't know who the fuck this guy is.
Well, the reason why, Terry, is he's pitched in Japan for the last 4 years. That's why.
Okay. Well, I knew there would be a good reason for it.
Last time he pitched in the majors, it looks like, was 2021 for Pittsburgh. His ERA that year it looks like he pitched in 15 games, was 0-6 with a 7.04 ERA. 11 walks, gave up 8 home runs. I mean, absolutely atrocious. The year before that, though, in the brief amount of games that he did pitch in, which was 5, 3.18, 1-1 record, but then in Japan, I mean, absolutely dominant.
Yeah, he figured it out.
180 2/3 innings with a 1.89 ERA for Hanwa. Was a starting pitcher in the rotation. I mean, that just goes to show, I don't know if we should be touching anything in Japan if he's doing a 1.89 over there, both hitters or pitchers, although who knows? This would be our luck. This would be the Japanese quote-unquote pitcher that we would sign instead of a Yamamoto. I want nothing to do with him. But he's projected to get 2 years, $22 million. Who is the favorites to get him? The White Sox, that makes sense. Cardinals, Brewers, I couldn't imagine that one. And the Giants. Well, no one wants to take the Giants' money, so maybe Cody Ponce will. Your thoughts?
I think he's a Brewer on that list. From what I can see.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, this is kind of just seeing if, you know, taking a flyer on a guy and seeing if, you know, one of those redemption second chance stories, but I don't think he has any place on the Red Sox, but you know, hopefully he finds somewhere and gets a second chance. It'll be a pretty cool story. But yeah, he seemed to figure something out in Japan, and last year in Korea, put up some good numbers. I don't know if it translates to the major leagues, but you never know, I guess. There's a lot of things, a lot of guys coming over from that league. It's a good league, but I don't think he's the answers for us right now.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pretend to do a deep dive here. Yeah. And Breslow did give the quote yesterday that he's not going to spend any time looking for number four and five starters. So,
right.
Not a guy we're going to be interested in. I'm surprised this guy is, Cody Ponce, is 39th on the list here, projected to get $22 million. I mean, that's a lot of money for a guy who hasn't pitched in the majors for a while. So
he's still only 27. I think that could be a reason why.
Or maybe they just figured it out in Japan. You know, maybe he ended up on a team with a good pitching program, and then the metrics got better and all that. But all right, number 38 on the list, a guy we are all familiar with. That's Justin Verlander. He is projected to get a 1 year, $22 million deal. The writers have him going to the Astros, Yankees, Giants, and Astros. So that would be an interesting reunion with the Astros there. The only team he has won a ring with. He turns 43 years old in February. So kind of trending towards being like the Nolan Ryan of this generation. Had a 3.85 ERA last year in 29 games. That was 152 innings pitched, 137 strikeouts. So not quite one strikeout per inning, but pretty damn close. Verlander still has it. I didn't pay a ton of attention to San Francisco, other than, of course, you know, that one trade.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's still posted a good year.
So yeah. Anyway, all right, Chris, thoughts on Verlander?
Yeah, I mean, he still has it. Had respectable stats. I mean, especially, you know, you have to tip your cap for him, because especially with the way the things went a couple of years ago with New York Mets, I really thought it was going to be the end of his career. Then went back to Houston, kind of revitalized, stabilized his career. And had a good season last year with the Giants. I mean, like we already said, as far as the Red Sox, we're not really looking for a 4-5. And I'm not saying he's a 4-5, but he's closer to a 4-5 than a 1-2. He's probably realistically a 3, but we have so many guys that kind of fit that bill at a much more reasonable amount of money. And especially with all the other needs that we're going to have to allocate those resources and funds to. So, I mean, I wish him the best of luck. Did we see who he's the favorite to go to? I mean, I could totally see him going to that team like the Yankees. So it looks like two people predict the Astros, one Giants, and one the Yankees. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked by any of those teams.
I think if he could pick from any of those teams on the list, he would take the Astros just for the familiarity. But I'd be surprised with a year that good that the Giants don't, you know, try to run it back one more time. But
yeah, I mean, they should, right? It's not, I mean, like Chris said, and like you said, we're not looking for end of the rotation guys, which he is right now, but he's a very solid end of the rotation guy, but that's what he is. But yeah, I mean, even if you're the Yankees right now, I mean, I think he's worth, you know, he has enough left that he's worth the $20 million. If you know, for teams like the Giants or the Yankees, he's worth that. And you know, you give him one more year if you're really trying to make a push at things. You know, once the playoffs hit, I mean, I'd have faith in him. I think you can rely on him. He's still making a lot of starts at that age. I don't see any problem with it if you're a Giants fan or anything, but I don't think we're looking for something like that, but I feel like this is the kind of guy you would see Breslow going after sometimes. But I don't, you know, talk about leadership and stuff after we lose Bregman, but I don't think this is the move for us right now, but, you know, he still has some left.
If we were legitimate, like if I knew we were for sure going to go to the World Series, I would say he's a perfect signing because, like, honestly, I could see him in a role very similar to like what the Dodgers did, right? Like when they got into that ladder of the World Series, it was like they were just putting starting pitchers out there to pitch in bullpen sessions, essentially, because, I mean, it's what it took. It's what it needed. And I could see if you were in an ugly game, you could throw him in there in a game seven and not even have to worry. But I mean, we're just not in that position. So,
yeah.
So Justin Verlander is my favorite non-Red Sox player of all time. I love Justin Verlander. And if I could get into a time machine, go back to late 2016, this time in late 2016, I would tell Dave Dombrowski, don't get Chris Sale. Go get Justin Verlander. I think we might have won an extra World Series somewhere in there. And Verlander won two Cy Youngs after 2016. And quite frankly, he should have won it in 2016. He was runner-up to Rick Porcello because of that weird Tampa writer. So I just feel like it's crazy to me that Dombrowski had the familiarity with Verlander. And I think he had a couple of off years, and maybe that's why he just steadfastly preferred Chris Sale. But man, I think you just would have, in hindsight, with the benefit of hindsight, I think you would have had a lot more stability in that rotation. And but you know, it is what it is. I'm surprised. I mean, he pitched for the first time. What year do you think he made his debut in the major leagues? It was only two games that year.
2000 and
like 2003, 4.
No, I was gonna say like 10, 2010, 11.
No, he's been in... Doug was a little bit closer. 2005.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And then in 2006, I guess he technically would have been a rookie that year. Where are the starts? Game started 30 starts in 2026, 3.63 ERA, 186 innings. And here we come in 2026. That's insane for a pitcher, I would say.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
You know, you had Pujols play probably what, close to 20.
Yeah.
So did, who was that outfielder?
Ricky Henderson played forever.
Yeah, in recent years though, he won a ring with the Astros, played for the Yankees, was the Mets manager for 5 minutes one winter, and then they fired him.
Beltran.
Yes.
Yeah.
He played forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just wow. But having said all that, after going through the nostalgia there, I'm not in on Scherlander. I'm not. I think I tried to blend him in with Scherzer. I'm not in on Justin Verlander, but
yeah,
I mean, I hope he pitches for five more years and is relevant. He was hitting 95, 96 on the gun last year. I did see a couple starts, and I think one of them might've even been against us, but yeah, so more power to him. I mean, the dude has no reason to be playing. He's married to Kate Upton.
Yeah. He's got, according to this list, he's got 22 million reasons to be playing. Yeah.
And that's true. He's made $419 million in his career. Yeah. So it's like, a handful of years ago, maybe it was right after he won the World Series, they did a tour of his house or something. And he had these like Batmobile type vehicles in his garage. Like shit I've never even seen before.
If I had $400 million, I'd have a Batmobile.
But that's what saying. Like, go mess with that stuff. Why are you getting on airplanes and lugging your crap through airports? Like, enjoy life. Enjoy your kids. Know. You know?
Yeah, if he hadn't won a World Series, I would get it. But he has, so it just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, he just loves baseball. That has to be it. Right. So,
yeah,
for sure.
you know. So anyway, that's yeah, more power to Justin Verlander. All right. Next on the list, Gleyber Torres is projected to only get a one-year deal worth $22 million. Wow. According to these guys, there's a sweep amongst the MLB trade rumors writers. All four have him going back to the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
So makes sense. There's some familiarity there. I mean, that's a team that could definitely use a, you know, a solid middle infield bat in their lineup. But Chris, what are your thoughts?
Well, actually, I saw an article today where it looks like he might be looking for a multi-year deal, especially with the strike looming. I don't think he wants to get a one-year deal going into a strike, or what's more than likely going to be a strike, I should say. I mean, listen, when Gleyber Torres first came up with the Yankees, he looked like a guy who was going to perennially, you know, knock in maybe 30-90, 30-95, just be right under that 100 RBIs and hit about 30 home runs. And then I would say after the first 2 years, the next like 4 or 5, he kind of dropped off. But I mean, he's still pretty much batting for average. He's still good for maybe 20 home runs, about 70, 75 RBIs. As far as from a Red Sox perspective, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Now, if you were to tell me we were trading Christian Campbell this offseason to acquire another bat, and maybe like a Marcelo Meyer isn't, you know, healing or he has a setback with his health, I would take a flyer for 1 year, $20 million, $22 million for Gleyber Torres going into a strike. I certainly wouldn't give him a multi-year deal. But yeah, I mean, I would take a flyer for that in a certain circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he looked like he was going to be a superstar, right? And then he struggled for a few seasons, and he struggled a lot last season. He came on strong at the end. I don't think I would. I mean, taking a flyer on him, yeah, I guess, but I wouldn't trade anyone for Gleyber Torres at this point. Anyone like that's significant in our lineup.
Well, he's a free agent, so you're not trading anyone for him. But you're putting him. I mean, if you, I guess you're not going to trade a middle infielder.
Yeah, no, I was saying if we traded Christian Campbell in a deal to get like an outfielder or a pitcher, and now we that was the scenario.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then in that scenario, if you have a spot, I mean, second base is kind of up in the air. So I get what you're saying with that. And but I don't think he's someone I would really that if we're looking to, you know, where everyone wants him to spend money, I don't think that's where we should be putting our money.
Yeah, I mean, so as you guys were saying, I mean, the Red Sox do have a need at second base. We don't know where Meyer's going. I guess if Meyer's the second baseman, and then I don't know if Torres has ever played third or if he's capable. I don't see why he wouldn't be. But he's typically been a below average major league infielder. This year he was a flat 0.0 WAR. So I guess he was average. He was a 0.6 negative 0.6 the year before, and not good at all. The crazy thing about Torres is he turns 29 in December. Like, without looking, I'm like, he's got to be 33 by now, maybe 34. He's been in the league a long time, since he was 21. So it's crazy to me. Like, when the Yankees first got him, which was in the Aroldis Chapman deal to the Cubs, and then ironically the Yankees just signed Chapman back that year. Everybody was saying Cashman was a genius back then. It's probably the best trade he's ever made, honestly, and it's probably the only good trade he's ever made, besides maybe Garrett Cole. But that was a free agent signing. The Astros traded for Cole, so scratch that. But I would have thought that he was going to get a $250 million long-term contract, and it just never panned out. And it's crazy to me that, you know, there may not be a 3-year deal on the table. Maybe the MLB trade rumor staff is just wrong and he will get a multi-year deal, but they all have him going to the Cubs. I mean, I thought he was a good fit there. You know, lots of experience. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's anybody on that team with the perennial postseason experience that Torres brings. So, yeah. And honestly, I wouldn't hate it if we got him, but I don't think we're going to allocate $20+ million to a guy like him with all the guys we have in the pipeline that'll be up, you know, in the next year or two. So we'll see. It looks like he just could end up back in Detroit. Number 36 on the list is a guy a lot of Red Sox fans wanted to trade for this year, and that was Ryan Helsley. He started the season as the closer for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's projected to get 2 years, $24 million. So closer. Chris, what are your thoughts?
I mean, he absolutely imploded on the Mets. I mean, listen, looking at his career, I mean, he was definitely pretty damn dominant for the most part, with the exception of a couple of blips, including this most recent to the Mets. But, I mean, everything went wrong with the Mets except for Pete Alonso, who we desperately want. But, see, if we don't get this number two starting pitcher, what I would do if I was Craig Breslow is I'd be like, all right, I don't have that number two pitcher. I've got a tons of threes and fours and fives. Let me completely just revamp this bullpen. And I would literally just load it up with guys like Ryan Helsley, right? And even the other guy that we were talking about before who had some pretty good stats. And literally just have a bunch of dominant late inning relievers that can come in any scenario and just shut the door, whether it's the fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, and then closing it out. Now, hopefully we do get that number two starter, but like that's the approach I would take if we're stuck with what we have and we're not able to acquire someone. I would just make the most dominant bullpen that I could and just ride along with all these pitchers that we have. And then no matter what scenario you're in, if one of them gets absolutely shelled early, you've got a bunch of guys can come in high, quote unquote, with high leverage experience in non-high leverage situations. So that's the approach I would take. So I don't think we should go after him because I'm hoping we get number two. But if we don't, take a flyer on a guy like Ryan Helsley.
Yeah, I mean, I think this would be a good signing for us. I think you bring a guy like this in. I mean, he has good numbers historically. He didn't explode with the Mets, but in the same season with St. Louis, he had really good numbers. And you know, our relievers have, you know, been pretty good. We, I think, you know, our coaching staff, our pitching staff has helped some guys out, figure some things out in the past. And I think he could be a really good addition to our team. And I don't think there's anyone that would be complaining if we do sign him. I think the numbers are all right. I think the money's all right for that 2 years. And I think he could really help the back of our bullpen.
You go get a guy like Helsley, you're flirting with the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. And I think it's unlikely because, you know, I don't know much about Helsley as a person. Like, is he open to not necessarily pitching the ninth inning? You know, is Fenway Park a place he would just love to pitch and just do whatever he can to help this bullpen? But man, you'd have the nastiest seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, however you want to arrange them. And you know what? Yeah, he ploded in New York, but that's such it's a cesspool there. Like, that's where no one's going to thrive in that environment with Steve Cohen owning the team, with the manager getting fired every second season. So I don't, anyone who doesn't thrive with the Mets, I'm not really going to hold it against them. He's 31 years old. He's very consistently had a strikeout per nine the last Well, yeah, the last couple of years around 10, and it was up significantly, 12.8 in 2023, 13.1, which is just absolutely off the charts. But he's a guy, he's a punch out pitcher, which you need, which is what you want at Fenway Park. So I would definitely be in on Helsley, but again, reports today state that the Red Sox don't, at least at this very moment, don't plan on allocating a lot of money towards that bullpen. All right, moving on, we are halfway through. This is a guy that I thought, you know, for a little while, I think he regressed this year a little bit, but was kind of sneaky good. And we had him for a cup of coffee, and then Heim traded him to the Rays, and they did what Tampa does and turned him into a pretty formidable pitcher. And that is Zach Littell. He is projected to get 2 years, $24 million. The MLB trade rumors staff has him going to the Nationals, Angels, Padres, and Angels. So two of them really like Anaheim for Zach Littell. Chris, thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with you as far as your assessment. He was definitely a guy who looked like he was going to cement himself as obviously a really good number three, maybe even a two for some staffs. Did have a little bit of a setback a couple of seasons ago. Seems to have kind of worked himself back into things. His projected stats for next year in his age 30 season is a 9-9 record, but a 3.9 ERA, about 134 strikeouts. I mean, good stats. But again, for where we are as a team, he would be, again, one of those number threes, maybe a four on this rotation, in which we just have way too many of those guys. So again, if we didn't have, weren't loaded, I'd say take a flyer, but I'm going to pass.
Yeah. I mean, this seems like a guy that if you sign, everyone just kind of complains that he's a guy that it's like a signing that you want to make headlines with a name, but really isn't a big signing, something like the Red Sox would do. You know, bring in a guy and act like it's a big signing, even though it's not. But he would help your team. You know, he is a good pitcher. He is a middle of the rotation guy that will stay solid. But I don't know. He's not worth the money for us right now. He's not what we should be going after. We need to be on to bigger and better things, I think, than Zach Littell. But he is a formidable pitcher that, if we do sign him, I mean, I'm not gonna say he's bad or anything, and he wouldn't help us, but that's not where our focus should be.
So he does, and pretty much always has had a below average strikeout per nine. He's more of a pitch to contact type guy, and you know, he's made a decent career out of that. Had a 3.83 ERA last year, somewhere around there. And I think he could have served a purpose the last few years on the Red Sox, but we've got guys in the pipeline. You have Early now. You may have Tolley in the, you know, towards the second half of the season if he doesn't get traded. So we'll see. But like we've all agreed, we've got our sights set on bigger fish. So, unfortunately, Zach Littell no longer a fit for the Red Sox. This name is very interesting. I don't know if he's a good fit, but it's an interesting name, and that's Luis Arraez, who's basically like Tony Gwynn light. You know, always one of the towards the top of the list annually in most hits among MLB hitters. So projected 1 year, $24 million, been with the Padres for a few years. The MLB trade rumors staff has him going to the Rangers, Diamondbacks, and Twins. And he played for the Twins for quite a while, so that would be a reunion. Chris?
Sorry, I was on mute. What the writers don't know is that there is a picture of Luis Arias next to Craig Breslow's nightstand, because this guy is a platoon dream. He plays first base, second base, and third base. So when you think about the versatility that this player could provide to a team like the Red Sox, who like to throw anyone and pretty much everyone everywhere on this roster and in any spot of the field, I mean, he really does fit the bill. And when you look at the fact that he's only going to get a one-year deal, I could 100% see the Red Sox in on a guy like this if we don't get that power bat, if we miss out on a Pete Alonso, if we aren't able to trade for a big bat. Because, I mean, listen, the guy gets on base. Like you said, he's generally in the top three for hits as far as major league hitters in a year-in and year-out basis. He doesn't have a lot of power. He's not going to hit a million home runs, but he's going to get on base. And, again, he provides a ton of versatility. So again, do I think we're going to get him? No, clearly the writers don't. But I could see, if we miss out on someone, this guy, us taking a flyer on him because of that versatility he provides.
Yeah, I'd love to sign him. It's a good player that gets hit. I mean, gets almost 200 hit, over two. He's had over 200 hits a couple times. I mean, this is a guy that can play the field, can play where you want him to play. And he's going to get on base. And, you know, a part of our problem was, you know, driving runs in. And, you know, you get a guy like this that's always on base. And, you know, he ups your percentages of getting those runs across when you have a guy, you know, constantly getting on base in front of guys like Roman. And hopefully we sign that power bat. And this is a guy that you want hitting in front of a power bat because he's always getting on base.
So the last 2 years in a row, Arias did lead Major League Baseball with the most hits, had 181 hits last year. Season prior was with two teams because he started with Miami, ended up with the Padres. He had 200 hits across that whole season. Also in 2024, so I guess this goes hand in hand. He did lead MLB in batting average, but also led it in batting average in 2023 with a 3.54 and then a 3.16 batting average in 2022. So, I mean, this is a guy who puts the bat on the ball. The downside is, well, there's a couple downsides. He doesn't have a ton of power. He's never hit more than 10 home runs in a year. He's never had more than 69 runs batted in. And his numbers, he's a left-handed hitter, so not a good fit right there. And his stats against lefties aren't terrible, but they're not great. You know, he's only he hit 263 last year with an on base of 294. So he's just not that effective against left-handed pitching. So unless Chris, as he pointed out, I mean, if they want to keep the platoon dynasty alive, you know, then this could be a good move. But hopefully we plan on upgrading more than that. He will be an amazing fit for someone, though, I would say, just not the Red Sox. All right, next on the list, we're just got a few more left. This is kind of, you know, I don't know if it really fits the bill, but would have been an attractive name the last few years. That's Nick Martinez. He's a starting pitcher, projected to get 2 years, $25 million. The MLB trade rumor staff has him going to the Padres, Guardians, Yankees, and Mets. So not a a real consensus there. He is kind of a, you know, he's kind of a Nick Pivetta type guy. You know, if he goes to the bullpen, he's good for several innings, but finds his way back into the rotation. Go ahead, Chris. What do you think?
I just want to see something quick here. I mean, what's his age? He's going to be what, 35? Yeah, 35.
Oh, wow. That's older than I thought. I would have guessed 32 without looking.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, he's got a couple of years ago and in a different world, different Red Sox team, maybe it would have been a perfect fit. But I mean, we have so many quote unquote in-house upgrades over a guy like him that are going to give you this, you know, the same, maybe even better, that have much higher upside, are not going to command this type of money at this point. So I don't want to waste too much time on a guy like this. I mean, he'll be a good fit for somebody, but again, at 35 years old and the money he's, you know, looking for, and you know, where we are as a team, it's just not a good fit.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, he'll probably find somewhere to go, you know, and he'll be a guy that starts in the bullpen. Someone gets hurt, he'll get some spot starts. But another guy that went to Japan and came back. But for us, for right now, for what we're looking at, yeah, no way.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 4.45 ERA in 2025. 165 innings pitched, only 120 strikeouts. So there's just not a ton of upside there, even if you do want to get creative. Not a fit at this point, but some team will have a pitching program that they think will, I don't know, make him very serviceable. So we'll see where he ends up. Two more to go. Number 32 on the list, Raisel Iglesias, former Cincinnati Red, former Anaheim Angel. He's projected to get 2 years, $26 million. The writers have him going to the Braves, Orioles, Giants, and Braves. So we'll see what goes on there. I'll have to pull him up here, but I'm not sure if he's closing or pitching in other roles. Chris, go ahead.
I mean, he's going to be 36 years old. That alone would scare me. I mean, he's got pretty decent stats. I mean, career ERA is 2.9.
A lot of saves the last 3 years.
Huh?
A lot of saves the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, if he was younger, he'd be one of those guys, like I said, if we didn't get a number two, where I would just load up. I would load up that bullpen with a guy like this. But at 36 years old and better options at about the same money, I don't think he's a good fit for us at this point.
I think he's a lot like, you know, Helsley. Like, is he going to set the world on fire if you sign him? No, but if you do sign him and you bring him in, he really strengthens your bullpen. I mean, he had 29 saves last year. You know, he's 73 strikeouts in 67 innings. So, I mean, that's a guy you can bring in, and, you know, you're looking for 7-8 guys or even 7-8-9 guys, and Chapman has the night off. And, you know, he's up there in age. Maybe 2 years, maybe isn't the deal you're looking. Maybe if he's looking for a 1 year deal, maybe it'd be worth it to take a flyer on him, see if he still has it for another year. I mean, he's had it for the last three. He's looked good.
And 2 years ago, he posted a 1.95 ERA. Looking for the saves right now. 34 saves that season. That actually ties the most he's ever had. Three times in his career, he's had 34 saves in a season. Pitched the last 4 years from Atlanta, so perhaps that's why the staff has him, two of them have him going back to Atlanta. And why not? I mean, he's been so durable for them, so reliable in that role. So wouldn't hate him for the Red Sox on a 1 or 2 year deal, but again, just not super realistic. And Chapman's going to be how old? Like 38, 39. And he's just a freak though.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Last one on the list, not the sexiest name, but I could kind of see it happening as the bad news. Harrison Bader, he's projected to get 2 years, $26 million. The writers have him going to the Giants, Royals, Guardians, and Angels. So kind of a scrap heap guy, but can really kind of catch lightning in a bottle and really help a team offensively in spurts. Had an epic postseason with the Yankees a couple of years ago. But Chris, have they traded a Duran type guy? Is he a fit or not?
I mean, if you trade Duran, you still have Abreu. I couldn't see them going with a guy like this over Abreu. Even though, I mean, for the most part, especially in the latter stages of Bader's career, he gets on base. He hits about 300. On base percentages, a hair under 400. So, I mean, I wouldn't hate it. You know, for me, Harrison Bader, I was thinking he was like the Ben Rice before Ben Rice. Scrappy guy, always was freaking annoying, would somehow kill the Red Sox and went on that little stint. And like you said, would do it in spurts, very much like Ben Rice, although I think Ben Rice has a lot more power and upside. But I just don't see it, because to me, you get rid of Duran, you still have other options internally. And if you get rid of Duran and Abreu, to me, that also spells that we have gone out and acquired probably a big bat in the outfield, like a Fernando Tatis type of situation. And at that point, you certainly don't need him. Yeah, I mean, would I be shocked? No, but I would probably pass at this point.
Yeah, I don't want them. I don't want to see them go out and get more outfielders. I don't think that's what we need. I don't think that's what we should be looking for. And this isn't a guy that I would want to take in right now.
Basically, I mean, we've got a pretty good outfield. I would honestly just rather bring back Rob Refsnyder on a one-year deal for considerably less money. I think definitely would be the right move there. But he certainly would be a good asset for a team looking for a fourth outfielder that already has a really good outfield. So yeah. But anyway, so that concludes part two of this series. The list will just get better and better as we work our way towards the top. So I wouldn't expect, if there's another show this week, it'll be an emergency Red Sox related show. So I wouldn't expect this series to pick back up until early next week, probably a Monday drop, I would say, for part three. So we'll see, but the GM meetings are continuing to go. Let's see, tomorrow is Wednesday. Typically, I think they wrap up on Thursday. Not a lot of fireworks typically take place this week, but tons will in a few weeks at the winter meetings. So we'll see what goes down there. And again, we're the busiest podcast in the Red Sox landscape. As things develop, we will be here to cover it. So stick with us. And if nothing else goes down, have a good rest of your week. Take care.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.